meeting of Community and Regional Affairs here in Juneau, Alaska. Room 124 is now in session. Joining me this morning, Representative Woody Salmon, Representative Mark Newman, Representative and Co-Chair Gabriel Ledoux, and I'm the other co-chair, Representative Anna Fairclough. In the audience today, we have Representative Paul Seaton, Representative Bryce Edmond, and Senator Johnny Ellis. Before us this morning, we're going to take up two bills. The first one will be SB 72, a community revenue sharing, followed by SB 131, the naming of the Pasillo parking garage. With that, Representative Seaton, I understand that you're going to tell us the difference on a CS that we have before us. If any of you have any cell phones, if you turn those off at this time, we like to do the donut thing. We've never, actually we received bagels, didn't we, Chris? We did receive bagels one morning, so we're certainly not as prestigious as our finance committee, but we try. I see people wiping their brows. They've turned off their cell phones.
That's a good thing.
Also joining us this morning, Representative Nancy Dahlstrom. With that, Representative Seaton, could you take us through SB 72?
Thank you, Madam Chair and Committee. The differences between SB 72 and your committee substitute is to incorporate House Bill 202 provisions that you passed out of here, basically to include the unincorporated communities within organized boroughs into the formula. And I know you fully discussed that, but there are a few other changes that take place. And one of the things is that if by putting those into the unincorporated in the incorporated boroughs, what you do is you take away a disincentive that is built into the program right now. And the disincentive is that if you are an unincorporated community in the unorganized borough, you receive direct revenue sharing. If those areas incorporate as a borough, they would lose that direct revenue sharing. As you well know, the committee, when it drafted the unincorporated within the organized boroughs, had a test that those communities had to provide independently of borough services, had to provide three separate services, such as through taxing themselves through service areas and those kind of things. So just to set that stage again, is that's the difference between the unorganized communities. In the organized boroughs that HB 202 included and the unincorporated. So right now what we have is a difference in the amounts for unincorporated communities outside the boroughs and for municipalities, and this bill changes that and equalizes it. What else the committee substitute does is it changes from 5% going to the unorganized community to 7%, and that's necessary to get the per capita allocation and provide for those 30 communities that this will include. There's also a necessity to increase that amount from $48.1 million to $49.1 million, and that proportion then raises everybody up. All of the municipalities like get more because they get 93% of that extra $1 million. So for instance, Anchorage would gain under the formula by a little over $177,000. The Mat-Su would gain a little over $100,000. And Kenai would gain about $370,000 and Lake and Penn about $263,000. And that's because those communities are the ones that our boroughs are widespread and have more of those communities. So the specific, going through the specific changes, if you'd look on page 2, line 5, and line 22, there's the changes to the percent of the revenue sharing from the to be allocated to unincorporated communities from that 5 to 7%, and that changes the percentages. And that $1 million more would be needed to add. Under the bill, of course, it's $50 million or 3%, whichever is less. Right now, the 3% of natural resource revenues is about $60 million. So the bill caps it at $50 million, or says it would be $50 million. So the $49.1 is below that as well at this point in time as a direct out, as a direct appropriation. On page 2, line 20, there's a technical change which replaces subsection with paragraph. And the problem here was that the way the bill is currently drafted, it didn't quite fill the intent that was talked about in all spreadsheets. And that is that the per capita amount could not exceed, or the total amount could not exceed the amount that was a base for a municipality. However, it was capping at $50,000, and the way it was drafted, it would have included the 25, so it would have capped the communities at $25,000. So this change is totally consistent with what had been proposed in the backup materials for the bill. Page 5, lines 4 and 6, it adds language to allow the unincorporated communities and organized boroughs to qualify for the revenue sharing payments. And page 5, line 2 is the conforming language that adds in the unorganized borough. Page 5, lines 16 to 31 establishes that in order for a community in an organized borough to be eligible for the payments, it must provide at least 3 of the services. And those services, just to reiterate, were fire protection, emergency medical, water and sewer, solid waste management, public road and ice road maintenance, public health, or search and rescue. And so it was any 3 of those. The next thing was on page 6, line 6, it adds the words unincorporated community to ensure that population for unincorporated communities in the organized borough are not counted double with the per capita for the boroughs. Just to explain that, the municipalities are subtracted from the borough population so that there's not a double dipping, and it was making sure that these unincorporated communities, their population, which are now going to receive direct revenue sharing, would not be included in the borough population, so there'd be no double dipping. Page 6, lines 15 through 17, expands the definition of unincorporated community to include a community that is in the unorganized borough, and borough or unified municipality that is not incorporated as a city with a population under 25. So that takes care of that definitional problem. And there is an increase of the fiscal note from 48.1 to 49.1.
Thank you, Representative Seaton. Madam Clerk, just for purposes, do we need to move a CS before us, since it is a CS? Representative Ledoux, is there objections? I'll go into questions just at the moment. I just want a working document before the body and the right one. Representative Ledoux?
Yes, I'll move for purposes of discussion, CS for Senate Bill number 7225SM. Or LS 0506/V Cook 5907.
Seeing no objections, that is before us. I just want to note for the record, too, that Representative Cisna joined us some time ago. Good morning. I already did, Representative Johnson. Representative Newman, did you have a question?
Yes, I did, Madam Chair. Representative Seaton on page 5, starting on line 1, it says there's more than one qualified entity in an unincorporated area. Community located in an unorganized borough or in a reserve, the department shall pay the dividend to the entity that the department finds most qualified to receive the money. What criteria is used by the department to decide that?
Through the chair, Representative Newman, that's the same criteria that they've used in the past. I'm not, we could get Commerce online, but yeah, they make that decision for the unorganized boroughs in past revenue sharing formulas. So that's a procedure that I haven't looked at. Normally, it has to be a organization, a 501(c) or a tribal or a village corporation that actually has the ability to receive funds and provide, you know, works in that community and providing the services. And other than that, as their normal procedure, I'd have to ask the Community and Regional Affairs.
Follow up, Representative Newman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The reason I ask that is when I look at what's on the list here, I've got quite a few communities in my district, and I think there'd be quite a squabble over something like that. So if you could define, get or provide some definition on that, I'd appreciate that.
Thank you, Representative Newman. We'll see if that's answered. I've written it down so that we can bring it up at the end of the discussion. Representative Salmon?
Yes. I have a question on the unincorporated communities. On this House Bill 202, what's the difference between the unincorporated as compared to the CS on Senate Bill 72? Is there...
Representative Seaton.
Sure. Madam Chair, there is no difference for those that are in the unorganized borough. For those that are in the organized borough, the definition is exactly as you passed in House Bill 202, which was that a community has to provide three of those essential services, and they have to do it independently of borough funding. So they are forming a service area, or they have a community club, or they have a village that actually provides those services. And so that test is not present for those communities, unincorporated communities that are outside of a borough, but it is for those that are inside a borough.
Representative Salmon.
I have another question, but it's on the same theory, but the difference between the Senate bill, which I think Donnie Olson, or Senator Olson, introduced, and as compared to the CS, is there any difference in the unincorporated? You said there was a 5 to 7% in difference between...
Oh.
Representative Seaton.
Through the chair, Representative Salmon. The money allocation formula, it goes to 7% for the unincorporated communities, all of the unincorporated communities, mm-hmm. but it includes 30 or so new unincorporated communities that are in the that are in the borough, such as Tyonek. Tyonek does not get any funding under SB 72. Tyonek does get funding under the CS.
Okay.
And, because they do provide the services.
Representative Salmon, follow up.
I have another question then. If they're getting funding, what happens to the allocation that we make to the borough? I mean, what does that stay the same, or does that decrease as we deal with the unincorporated?
And through the chair, Representative Salmon, there's a per capita distribution as well as a base distribution, a $25,000 base to an unincorporated community. That doesn't count, but the per capita amount is the population is subtracted from what's allocated to the borough, so that the population is not counted twice. Previously, what happened was that the population of the unincorporated community was counted to the borough for their per capita. And now with the direct revenue funding to the community, they gain the base amount plus the per capita amount, but their population is subtracted from the borough, so there's no double counting or double dipping.
Representative Salmon.
Just one more question, maybe I'll... the question I have is if we're going to give the... villages in the borough extra money, what does that do to the money in the unincorporated area? You see that, you know, like in Ladue's case, we're given not extra money, but I mean, what would be the difference? I mean,
sure.
We have it. Do we have it on this sheet or one of these sheets that
Representative Seaton?
Yes, we do, Representative Salmon. Basically, what happens is, that's why the change, the extra $1 million was being added to the fiscal note, and why with the change from 5% to the unincorporated to 7% for the unincorporated, that means that fully funds those without a change really to the other unincorporated, and it also adds a little bit to the municipality.
Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Seaton and Representative Salmon. We do have people online to testify. Does the committee have any more questions? Representative Seaton, if you are available, you can stay at the table in case something arises, but if you need to leave, I understand that too.
No.
Would you like to sit with us?
Sure, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Representative Ledoux. With that, we're going to open the public hearing. First, from Kodiak's LIO, we have Jeremy Shelby. Welcome this morning.
Good morning.
I'm sorry, it was Jerome.
Good morning, Madam Chairman and members of the committee. We appreciate you folks working on this bill. A lot of work's gone into it up till now, and we fully support the committee substitute. We've got one of those villages that are unincorporated here in the Kodiak Island Borough. And for us, the borough will take a reduction of a little less than $2,000 in order for that village to get the full, they get a little over 25, like 27,000, I think, because there's like 40 people there. But we think that's a good change. And we in fact, advocated this over on the Senate side, but we were way late in the process because it only came to our attention that that the unincorporated communities had been left out. So I would urge you to adopt the committee substitute. I think that we should treat the unincorporated communities inside the organized areas the same as we do the outside of the areas. They have the same problems. They've got the same need for fuel and electricity and water and sewer. And the way the state statutes are written, the Kodiak Island Borough can't really go provide those services in Carlock. There's no real mechanism for us to be able to do that. So they kind of become no man land children, if you will, if this committee substitute is not adopted. So we would urge you to adopt it. We think that the bill is a good bill and will really be a huge factor in making for communities staying viable. And I would even venture that given this a couple of years, you might even have healthy communities throughout Alaska, which is what's really needed and what is why revenue sharing is desperately needed. So thank you for all the work on the bill. It looks great. Please adopt it and let's get it done.
Mayor, thank you for testifying this morning.
Thank you, Jerome.
Are there any questions from committee members? Seeing none, we're moving on. Sitka LIO, John Stein.
Yes, good morning. Thank you, Madam Chairman. I appreciate the committee and the representatives taking this on.
Make sure they're hearing you.
Are you hearing me okay?
We are, sir. Could you state your name for the clerk?
Oh, yes, John Stein. I'm the municipal administrator for the city and borough of Sitka.
Good morning.
Good morning. Anyway, again, thank you. Sitka supports the substitute bill, revenue sharing, or what are we calling it now? Yes, revenue sharing. Community revenue sharing is really important to all regions of Alaska. One little subtle point I'd like to make is that a lot of communities like Southeast Alaska are out of the oil economy. You know, we get very indirect kinds of spinoff, and so the opportunity to share in the state's revenue is really important. I was facing a cut. I was asked to cut $2.4 million from the $20 million budget that the general fund has here in Sitka, and that's been very difficult. You know, we're looking at all the kinds of things that are tender and difficult to pull out of our standard operations, and having some money come in from the state will be very helpful to, you know, maintain roads, drainage, library, and social services. We have about a $200,000 budget for a pass-through to nonprofits. About $150,000 of that is for social service groups, and we're very keen on providing, you know, these important services, and this revenue sharing bill will go a long ways to support that. So we urge your passage. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Steiner. Are there any questions from committee members? If not, thank you for joining us. We appreciate that.
You're welcome.
Now moving on to Wrangell, we have Jeff Jabush, and I probably destroyed that, so please state your name for the record.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. My name is Jeff Jabush, and I'm the finance director for the city of Wrangell. And we also support the bill and the changes that have been made to it. Wrangell is currently in a depressed economy caused by the timber industry years ago, and we're still trying to recover from that. We have sent a fax to you that outlines in a little more length some of the issues that we have and the problems that we face in trying to balance our budget to provide basic services in Wrangell. police, fire, roads, schools. And we do feel that we are currently, we have one of the highest sales taxes in the state at 7%. We have a 12.75 mill rate. And for those that don't have a sales tax rate, if we eliminated the sales tax, that would be equivalent to 32 mills. So under the circumstances of our economy, we certainly feel we're trying to do our part to maintain those services for our community. And the revenue sharing program would go a long ways into helping us kind of get back on the road. So we certainly appreciate all the work that the state has done and the various people that have been involved in the revenue sharing. And we certainly urge you to pass that with the changes that were recently made. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. J. Bush. I just wanted to let you know, too, that we did pass out this morning and receive the facts that you sent us dated May 11th to the House Community and Regional Affairs. So Gabriel Ledoux's office passed that out for us.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next, from the Fairbanks LAO, we have Tammy Wilson. Good morning, Tammy.
Good morning.
It was nice to meet you here in Juneau.
It was good to meet all you guys, too. My name is Tammy Wilson, and I'm from the Fairbanks area, and I just want to say thank you to all those who put time into this bill. I think it's a great bill. It helps all communities, and I just want to say basically thank you for everything you guys have done on this, and I hope you pass it.
Thank you for being involved and testifying. Are there any questions from committee members? Seeing none, we have two more people online. Just a reminder for those that are joining us online or here today, we are speaking to SB 72, Community Revenue Sharing. Jeff Currier from Lake and Penn Borough. Are you with us this morning?
Yes, good morning. My name is Jeff Currier, manager of Lake and Peninsula Borough. I've been in Alaska for almost 30 years now, and I have seen the change that took place, as many as you have, since revenue sharing disappeared some years ago in its previous form. And I've also seen our villages within Lake and Penn Borough struggle to continue to provide services that they bring to their residents that nobody else would provide if they did not. The short of it is I'm in strong support and very appreciative of all the work that's been done by the committee, especially in want to mention Bryce and Gabrielle's efforts too. This is an extremely important bill. These funds will make a tremendous difference in our villages who've been just hanging by a thread, if you will, for the past several years because of fishing and all the rest of the economic downturns. So it's critically important. I think that over time it will make a tremendous change in rural Alaska, and I just hope that once it's passed, it stays in place for a number of years and these villages can get healthy again. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Is there any questions from committee members? Seeing none, the next person online is Kathy Wasserman. Good morning, Kathy.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. For the record, my name is Kathy Wasserman. I'm with the Alaska Municipal League. I'm sorry I couldn't be there. I'm up in Fairbanks where we're working on PILT and secure funding for rural schools, which is also in danger, and that would drastically hurt communities in Alaska. We have AML, and along with your committee and many other members of the legislature, have put a lot of work into SB 72, and we would just ask that you pass it out of committee. We understand that this issue with villages with municipalities in unincorporated area and in boroughs has always sort of been battered back and forth. Our stance has always been that we certainly advocate for healthy communities in the state of Alaska, and anything that helps us get there is certainly what we would certainly support fully. So again, we would ask that you would pass SB 72 out of committee, and we thank you for all the work that you've done, and we're just so happy that it's gotten this far. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Kathy. Are there any questions from committee members? Seeing none, the next person online is Dan Salmon. Salmon. Dan, are you there?
Yes, I am. Thank you. My name is Dan Salmon. I'm the community administrator with Igiaga Village Council, as well as a board member of the Lake and Peninsula Borough. I strongly support the changes that the House brought to 72, and I commend for the inclusion of the language that added the unincorporated communities in boroughs to revenue sharing consistent with the way the rest of the state's communities will be treated if revenue sharing passes. I testified a couple days ago to the Senate Finance about some of the issues. I'm the longest tenured administrator of a community in Bristol Bay, I believe, and have had a lot of experience over the years of the early years when there was revenue sharing, and I've lived through the period of time when there was no revenue sharing, and I can certainly tell you there's a huge change since it was admitted years ago. Our village of about 50 swells to 150 to 200 tourists a year, and we provide many services that give visitors to the state and provide direct benefit of revenue to many businesses to make their visit to rural Alaska a safe and enjoyable one. Our community provides electrical generation, water, sewer, has a Class 3 municipal landfill with recycling. We have volunteer fire and emergency rescue, many of the same things that cities do. To get road funds, to have DOT state road funds build some of the infrastructure roads in our community, we're required to sign a piece of paper saying that when these roads are either upgraded and or newly built, that the village will assume responsibility for their maintenance, which we do. We provide liaison and public notice area and as well as teleconferencing to the various state and feds at the community here, regardless of race, religion, etc. You know, and lastly, I guess a couple days ago when I testified to the Senate Finance, I heard, after I was done, a comment made how much was heard on this bill. And I thought about it. There's only 20-something of the communities, and most are so apathetic at this point or uninformed that this is even a remote possibility that it's even being considered, that they don't know that it's out there. There's no AML to worry about the unincorporated or lobby on our behalf, so many of these communities I recognize are among the poorest segment and communities of Alaska facing, you know, our community this year. I just got the estimates for fuel exceeding $6 for gasoline this coming season and heating oil in excess of $5. So I'm not sure how this ended back up in there to be considered, but again, I commend the effort that was made by the people that did do that, and I strongly support its inclusion, and thank you very much for this opportunity.
Thank you, Dan, for your comments. I can tell you how it got there, just for the record. You have a very good advocate down here in Juneau, and that's Representative Ledoux. She inserted this language, and I'm sure she had support from Representative Seaton as well as Representative Rice Edgman talking about this. But Representative Ledoux inserted this language on the House version, then went over too. So where credit is, we want to give credit where credit is due, and Representative Ledoux has been arguing your particular points that you raised and many others to this body for our entire session. And so I think that she certainly has this committee's ear, and that's why we're meeting on a different day for us and trying to see if we can move this along for you. So thank you for your testimony.
And thank you, Representative Fairclough.
Is there any questions?
Thank you very much to Gabriel Ledoux. She knows us, and she's been to our community, so she knows what we do, and I appreciate her efforts. Thank you.
Thank you. I don't have anyone else signed up online. Is there anyone that's joined us that would like to testify online? We're not busy here, even though that might have been a busy signal. Okay, is there anyone here in Juneau? Yes, we are all busy in a different way. I just meant the phone connection. Is there anyone here in Juneau that would like to testify on SB 72, the CS? Seeing none, the public hearing is closed. Representative Ledoux.
I'd like to move CS for Senate Bill number 7225, LS0506/V, Cook 5907, with individual recommendations and attached fiscal note.
I'll object for discussion purposes. Representative Seaton.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I just wanted to make sure I might have misspoke or might have been misinterpreted when I was presenting the about the unincorporated communities. There was a question from Representative Salmon about would there be any effect. And there is absolutely no effect in the base amount. The actual per capita amount is about $6 less than in municipalities. So there is a slight effect, but that's only on the per capita.
Thank you, Representative Dahlstrom.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So Representative Seaton, follow up on that. You're saying there's a 6% or $6 per person effect on everyone in all the other areas, correct?
Through the chair, Representative Dahlstrom, that is correct. And when the percentage was increased from 5 to 7% on that and the extra $1 million added, then that it is close, but it's not perfect. And so that is the effect under this.
Thanks. Hearing. I just wanted to make sure you understood.
Representative Newman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would just like to point out, too, that the state of Alaska has been very generous, in my opinion, on sharing its revenue. There's a lot of communities, if you look down through the budget within the last couple of years, millions and millions of dollars going to ports, roads, schools, variety of projects, all the way to totem poles. Now, if legislators can find money in their budget to fund totem poles and other projects like that, then I think that they maybe should look at some of that to get to more useful needs, like the needs that are specified in here, such as fire and road service areas, schools, solid waste management, public health, search and rescue programs. I think that money would be better spent there. But I know in my community, I looked at just in the budget that we received from the Senate anyhow, in the Mat-Su was $125,311.100. $125 million plus. That's a lot of money going into the Mat-Su borough from the, that's my community that I'm talking about. In a lot of communities in the state, there's hundreds of millions of dollars going into this state, compliments of communities around the state, compliments of this state government. The people in this body work very hard to support their communities. We all do. And we all try to provide the best that we can. And the thing about the revenue sharing program, if it's in the capital budget, it allows me to direct the funds more easily directly to the communities that I feel need it. I ask those communities to submit CIP lists to me, and each community does. And communities that aren't on this list, like Big Lake, Willow, Trapper Creek, Kinnick, Goose Bay, 13 communities in my district, and one of them's on this list. It's $25,000. The money that we get to all those communities through a capital project is much more appropriate, or I feel that the citizens of my district, anyhow, are much more appreciative of trying to get their money that way. I'm not saying that I don't think this is a good program, but I think if the state can afford it, we're okay, but we're going to be in trouble in a couple of years, folks, where the state is going to be in a deficit, if not next year, but the year after, and I'm very, very concerned about that. I think that we all need to recognize that, and with that, thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative Newman. For the record, we did have one question, and I don't know if Representative Ledoux or anyone from the administration is online or in the audience, and that was on page 3. I'm trying to think where you had that question.
Page 5.
It was on page 5, and Representative Newman asked who determines the appropriate entity that receives the money, and if there's someone in the audience that might have that question for us before we move this on to finance and take a vote, that would be helpful for the edification of this body. Your name, sir, for the record.
For the record, I'm Bill Rolfson, an employee of the Department of Commerce. Yeah, we have dealt with that, determining who is the most qualified within an unincorporated community. In our regulations from the old revenue sharing program, which we would just transfer to this program, what we do is there's three criteria. We look at the proposed use of the funds, the administrative capability of each entity, and who is most representative of the community. We then send out a questionnaire to each entity, hold a public meeting in the community to take public input. Our director then makes the determination, which is then appealable to our commissioner. And off the top of my head, I can remember dealing with competing applications in Circle, Chitna, Taslina, and Chistochina. that I can recollect.
Sir, Representative Newman, did that answer your question satisfactorily, or do you have a follow-up?
Well, I have a couple follow-ups on that. I could come up with several questions, Madam Chair. When the communities, you said communities who have the best ability to distribute the funds, I think if some of those communities had funds, they could be better prepared to distribute those funds to enlarge their government or to provide for better needs. A lot of times I find that if communities had funds, they would be able to provide more of the programs, such as the water and sewer, fire, and stuff like that. But if they don't have them, so it seems that it's a real double standard there in that effect. I think you could probably find a lot of questions from a lot of citizens of the state, the communities, but for now, Madam Chair, thank you.
Thank you. And if committee members have questions, we certainly could look at those regulations if we wanted to update them if we're successful at moving the project forward. Thank you for your testimony and the follow-up. Representative Cisna.
I just, Madam Chair, wanted to make several comments, one of which is thank you very much to all of the parties that had a part in this bill, because it has a grade of good, solid thinking about what our small communities need. And I certainly appreciate Representative Newman's comments about the amount of money we spend from the state in small communities, and it is a sizable amount. But in the travels that I've made around to individual communities looking at health systems, what I have found is that oftentimes the monies and the wonderful projects that come to communities have additional costs, and oftentimes we're not planned for by the community, so it oftentimes throws out other priorities so that you can maintain something someone else wanted. This allows communities to make good decisions on their own and to prioritize, knowing that they're going to have some control over their own funding, which is the best way to spend our precious state dollars.
Thank you, Representative Cisna. With that, I'll withdraw my objection. Seeing no further objection, this bill moves from committee. It will be going on to House Finance. We'll pause briefly for a moment while we sign to move. Good morning. We're back on the record. It is 8:45. We're in Juneau, Alaska, in room 124 at the Capitol. And the next item before Community and Regional Affairs is Senate Bill 131, the naming of the Pocillo Parking Garage. We do have the sponsor in the audience with us, Senator Ellis.
Good morning, Madam Chair, Madam Co-Chair, members of the committee. It's a pleasure to join you this morning. For the record, I'm Johnny Ellis, representing downtown and midtown Anchorage in the Alaska State Senate. And again, thank you for your help with this legislation and having it before you today. The bill is very straightforward. Senate Bill 131 would name the new state parking garage in Anchorage in honor of Lenny Pocillo. Lenny was a constant positive force for change in Anchorage, and I believe it's fitting that the new parking garage bear her name. Lenny, along with her sister Susan, challenged the Anchorage Parking Authority by donning tutus and fairy wings and depositing coins in expired parking meters. Lenny was an agent of change, leaving compassion, humor, and profound change in her wake. And it was the 20th Alaska Legislature that formally honored her and stated that the Pocillo sisters have reminded all of us that government must serve the people. They've also confirmed the strength of our democracy by showing that wrongs can be righted and that the will of the people can triumph. Some people, Madam Chair, have called what she did random acts of kindness. I tend to think of them as deliberate acts of kindness, whether it was all of her charity work with nonprofits in the community and across the state, or her family business there, the gas station on Tudor Road, always had a, and you may remember this as well, the signs soliciting donations for various good causes, or whether it was just the individual sharing of her family's resources, a warm coat or hat during the wintertime. It was just an amazing family effort, an amazing individual effort on her part. The Pocillo sisters spoke truth to power and really called to check what I considered overreaching government. As I said, Lenny was honored by the Anchorage Assembly and by the Alaska Legislature. This piece of legislation about the parking garage is supported by the Anchorage Assembly unanimously, along with the support of the Anchorage mayor. Madam Chair, I also want to put on the record that, needless to say, each and every one of us falls short of the grace and the glory of God. I certainly do. None of us is perfect, and I know there were some concerns early on that maybe there were some outstanding debts by Ms. Pasillo in regards to her student loan. That was a concern of Senator Cowdery, and we worked together to satisfy those concerns. And there is a letter from the Post-Secondary Education Committee in your packet that all aspects of her account were cleared to the satisfaction of the state. I believe, again, Madam Chair, to sum up, that this would be a fitting tribute to a wonderful person. You know, it's often that we honor the captains of industry, statesmen and women in our state, elected officials who have accomplished great things for our state. The Atwood Building, of course, is named after someone who crusaded for statehood and was a world-renowned journalist. And I thought that was a very fitting tribute when we acquired that property and named the state building after Mr. Bob Atwood. And I believe that it would be a uniquely Alaskan statement to honor a regular person, so to speak, an extraordinary person from the citizenry for their accomplishments. And I think it would be an uniquely Alaskan tribute to have the Atwood Building and the Pasillo Parking Garage in close proximity. I think that would be a wonderful statement about who we are as Alaskans and the uniqueness of how we honor citizens, large and small, of great stature, or of small stature, because Ms. Pasillo had a wonderful personality, great accomplishments, but she was not an elected official or someone who moved in the halls of power, but she made her impact nonetheless. And so with that, I'll stop there. I know there are other folks who are very passionate about this as well. I introduced the bill at the request of the family and the friends, a very large extended family and a legion of friends and supporters who want to honor her in this way. And thank you again for having this. I just really appreciate it.
Thank you, Senator Ellis. We did pass out of committee this last Saturday on to finance our version. I know that it's not scheduled to go to finance, I thought I heard on the floor it was scheduled to go to finance, but it's not showing up that way in the clerk's record. So we'll clarify that particular movement.
We hope you're expediting.
And then Representative Newman.
I just think this is a great bill. I mean, this lady sounds kind of neat.
Oh, that just scratches the surface.
Representative Newman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Senator Ellis. That's your straight there. I'll upgrade you. I just want to make sure we don't have a conflict of interest here. So Ms. Pasillo never put any money in a meter that was expired where your car was parked, was there?
No, she did not. And I know some people, some people have different views of whether that was an appropriate thing to do, but the public responded very favorably to those actions. But, you know, technically, there were some concerns from the parking authority and from some citizens that maybe that wasn't the absolutely correct legal thing under our statutes at the time. But it was overwhelmingly positive and made a political statement, I guess. And no, there's no conflict of interest, I can assure you.
Thank you, Senator Ellis. Representative Ledoux.
We always talk about fiscal notes around this place. So I'm sort of curious, does anybody know what Ms. Pasillo ended up spending of her own money on this and what the fiscal impact was, how much this actually cost the parking authority?
Her sister is actually online, we moved to public testimony.
Okay.
Susan Pasillo, are you online with us this morning?
Yes, ma'am, I am. This is Susan Pasillo. Good morning.
Good morning. Would you like to address the Community and Regional Affairs on this issue?
Question being, what was the fiscal impact?
Well, if you have testimony, you can provide us testimony, or if you'd like to answer or engage in conversation with Representative Ledoux about the money that could have been the parking tickets that were lost because of your efforts to save citizens from that ugly ticket that might appear on their windshield.
Well, Well, I can tell, addressing the fiscal issue, I can tell you that we put thousands of dollars, actually quarters, nickels, dimes, into the meters. And my mother used to tell us that when you wanted to get someone's attention, sometimes you had to do something really crazy or you had to hit their pocketbook. And I believe that perhaps we got their attention that way. So it was, there were a few dollars, I'm quite certain. Anyway, I just want to comment real quick. I really appreciate everyone's help on this, especially Senator Ellis and his sense of humor and for honoring my sister Lenny this way. Lenny was, in some things I've heard her described as an ordinary citizen. She was actually more a common citizen. She was definitely not ordinary. She was extraordinary. And if any of you met her, when she walked into a room, she would charge every ion in it and just raise the energy level to an unbelievable height. My sister Lenny did so many things for so many different people that were not seen publicly. And I just think that this is a real light, fun way to honor her and also to honor Alaskans. Like you said, this is a, just to reiterate that we are a government of the people, for the people, and by the people, and we are the people, and that people have not only a right but a responsibility. And I just think this is a good way of saying that. And I appreciate everyone's time and effort. Thank you.
Susan, just for the edification of the body, I understand there was a duo and that it's IES with fairies or an apostrophe S, and that you participated in that goodwill also.
Yes, ma'am, that's correct. Lenny and I were both the parking fairies. We were a team, and I missed the other part of my team. That's true. Lenny, however, this bill is to honor my sister Lenny in not only being a parking fairy, but all the other things that she did. You know, she raised money on her own, bought a pump for a village in Nicaragua and delivered it so that they could have water. I don't know, some of you have driven by, and there was many things that she did. There was the Who Killed Bonnie sign was up on our station for years, and she never let that drop. There were numerous charity events going on. Lenny would randomly walk into a restaurant and see someone down on their luck and buy them a meal and walk away and not ever say a thing. So she did a lot of public acts of kindness and a lot of random, unnoticed acts of kindness.
Susan, I appreciate you sharing your family with us and just wanted it to go on record that you were part of some of those gracious gifts too. Representative Ledoux has a comment or a question.
As a result of your actions, does the parking authority do things differently now in Anchorage?
Oh, yes. The streets of downtown Anchorage are much friendlier. You know, people aren't cringing to go find a parking spot anymore. I've noticed that it's a lot friendlier down here. And having a police presence is also really nice. Plus, it gives the rookies a chance to kind of get into the flow of what's going on down here.
Representative Ledoux.
So do you still do this anymore, or have they totally changed things so that it's not necessary?
It's been completely changed, but I know that personally, I usually, when I'm downtown, I walk around with a pocket full of quarters and just stick a quarter in an expired meter, and I've heard hundreds of different people, and seriously, hundreds of people over the years tell me, you know, when I walk past a red flag meter, I put a quarter in, and it's just, you know, I just think that that's a great positive thing moving forward. Anyway, thank you.
Thank you for testifying, Susan. It reminds me of the movie Pass It On. So, anyway, we appreciate your testimony. Next online, Andrea McLeod.
Hello, my name is Andrea McLeod. I sent some things down there. Did you get them for the record?
Everyone has all of the information, Andre.
Okay. Well, I'd like to read into the record one of them, if that's okay. So I'll start real quickly. And I thank you very much for hearing SB 131, naming the new state parking garage in downtown Anchorage after Lenny Pasillo. It's being constructed just across the street from the Robert Atwood State Office Building. For those who don't know, Lenny Pasillo was one of two sisters dubbed the Parking Fairies. They went around putting quarters in expired parking meters as part of their campaign to bring attention to an enforcement agency run amok. Lenny passed away last year. She was for the little guy. The Robert Atwood Building is where many state departments and the governor's Anchorage office are housed. Robert Atwood is an icon and a pillar in Alaska's history and was instrumental in shaping today's Alaska. He was a big guy. Alaska's unique in that residents who want to better their community can truly exercise their right of critical democracy. In our great state, individuals who muster enough courage and gumption can take a stand on issues, criticize their government, and actually end up making a difference. Most Alaskans seriously take their duty to keep leaders accountable as they follow the constitutional doctrine of government of the people, by the people, and for the people. Lenny was such a person. She and Susan, the Parking Fairies, were the catalyst for an enormous paradigm shift relating to parking in Anchorage. With a public relations campaign any Madison Avenue advertising executive would envy, they single-handedly transferred the balance of power from an overzealous government bureaucracy back to the people where it rightfully belongs. The Parking Fairies had a vision to rein in the Anchorage Parking Authority's enforcement activities. They carried it out as a mission dressed up in tutus, tights, and fairy wings. Their courage was demonstrated in countless assembly and committee meetings as they criticized established policies that had gone awry. Lenny's integrity was further displayed in the many philanthropic activities she took on to improve people's lots. And Lenny persevered year after year as she survived the slings and arrows pointed at her from some bureaucrats, some elected officials, and others. Lenny was relentless in her pursuit to make government accountable to the people. While Lenny exercised her right of critical democracy, she showed others how to be good citizens. She was an example to anyone who wanted better government and leaders. Through it all, she endeared herself not only in Anchorage, but on a national and international level. She became an unofficial ambassador of Anchorage as stories of the Parking Fairies' activities were published in the National Enquirer, National Examiner, and portrayed on the Letterman and the Mike and Maddie Show, among others. Her death made the media internationally as countries throughout the world reported on the passing of our beloved Parking Fairy. Mayor Begich, former Assembly Chair Dan Sullivan, and all Assembly members approved the resolution requesting the legislature to name the new parking garage as the Lenny Pasillo Parking Garage. Clearly, this demonstrates that they point to Lenny as a model citizen by fittingly honoring her actions. Anchorage feels good and proud in knowing it produces citizens like Lenny. Many people embrace what she embodied as she went on transforming everyone's parking experience for the better. The Lenny Pasillo Parking Garage would remind us of our rights, responsibilities, and obligations to make sure government is answerable to us. It would sustain Anchorage's unique sense of community and spirit. It's most proper for the Lenny Pasillo Parking Garage to be across the street from the Robert Atwood State Office Building, because it proves that it doesn't matter what your position or standing in society might be in Alaska, that in the long run, when it's all said and done, we're all in this together. Thank you.
Andre, thanks for your passion. I know you've been following this the entire session, so I appreciate your testimony. Are there questions from committee members? Thank you, Andre. Is there anyone else online that would like to testify on SB 131? Hearing none, is there anyone here in Juneau that would like to testify on HB 131? Seeing none, the public hearing is closed. Is there a motion from a committee member? Representative Ledoux.
Yes, I am delighted to move SB 131. Is CS for SB 131, State Affairs 25-0768/E, with individual recommendations and attached fiscal note.
There's no objection. That bill has moved from committee.
Thank you very much.
With that, I just wanted committee members to know that we do not have any other bills on our calendar. Something may come to us via the Senate that might get referred to us, so we're not saying that we won't meet again, but right now, next week has no community and regional affair meetings. With that?
Anna?
Uh-huh.
Oh, I have a question. This is Andre.
Andre, could you call me in my office?
Oh, I was just wondering where the bill goes after here when it goes out of committee.
We believe it's to the floor, but our bill went to finance, and I was questioning that, so we haven't had that confirmed, and I said that a little bit earlier also. We need to check. We think it's going to the floor.
Thank you.
You're welcome. With that, our meeting is adjourned.